You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. Sam Norris and Andy Holding in the studio ready to preview the racing from Sandown, Wetherby and Muscle. We've also got action on the flat at Lingfield Park on Saturday. There's evening racing from Gosforth Park at Newcastle as well. And there's an Irish card over at Fairy House. You can hear all the best of the racing on Saturday afternoon from 12:15pm with Luke Elder, Ollie Pimlott and Paddy Aspel in the studio. But ahead of all that, it's a very warm welcome to Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Hi, Sam. I'm good, mate. Yeah, very well.
Good. Enjoying the racing lately? We always have that January lull, don't we? But it's beginning to pick up again now.
Yeah, once we get into February, we know we're only weeks rather than months away now from the Cheltenham Festival. The picture's becoming a little bit more clearer, certainly for me anyway, and a lot of the championship races. The handicap weights will be coming out soon as well, or the entries and then the weights. So we get that degree of excitement to add on top of plenty of other competitive races, which are shaping up really well. So it's going to be a fantastic festival. And the great thing is this year as well, other than one or two races, you know, like to Duvan, et cetera, most of the championship races seem wide open. We haven't got as many Willie Mullins bankers, albeit he's got a lot of nice horses and he's like to have a lot of horses fancied. He hasn't got those real thin, short ones that make races a little bit more or too uncompetitive. So that's something to be thankful for.
Yeah, definitely. When does festival prep proper start for you, Andy?
It's already started.
Well,
my prep basically starts as the season starts, because from a time figure perspective, I compile numbers all the way through the year. So I've already got like a collection of fast times that have already, horses that have already run to championship level. I've got a certain level or marker or number where I think, right, if you run to that or you go over that, you can run at championship speed.
Okay.
And a lot of them have broke through that barrier this season. Not a lot have as well. There's a lot of horses that are favourite for their races respectively, and they've got nowhere near the standard required. Three of them are favourites for their race as well. Melon, Finian's Oscar and Defy de Soil. All short price favourites. All supposedly visually impressive.
Yes.
But the clock has not backed up that theory at the moment. So we could perhaps talk about those three.
Yeah, definitely. Let's get on to Melon then, because the Supreme Novices this year, Andy, for a long time, people were sort of saying that it was a weak race because we sort of saw challengers come and then fall by the wayside, and Moon Racer had been favourite by default almost for a long time, whereas last year we had Altior and Min from a long way out sort of dominating the market. Melon did win at the weekend. It's trained by Willie Mullins, which obviously has probably accounted for the fact that it's a couple of points shorter than some people might have it. It certainly looks as though we've got a more competitive race on our hands this year, Andy, even if the quality of a Min or Altior isn't perhaps quite there from what we've seen so far.
No, I'd go along with that. Look, you know, I'm not decrying Melon's performance the other day. You know, it looked good, it was good. But again, I'm a numbers man.
Yes.
I've got horses to compare it to on that card. And albeit it was a nice run first time out, it was nothing more than that. He ran to a reasonable overall, but doing the circuit times and the sectionals, particularly the circuit times in comparison with Petit Mouchoir, and more importantly, the novice mare or filly, Let's Dance, he would have been beaten by Let's Dance by about 20 lengths on that final circuit.
Right.
If the two of them would have run exactly how they run there, obviously Melon could have run a lot quicker. And it might have been different, of course, if he was in her race.
Yes.
We don't know that. But if you're just comparing like for like, if you started the races from that point where they went past the winning line to the winning line, there was 20 lengths difference between them.
Right.
So Melon has therefore got to improve. I know that. I know that horse has got to improve 20 lengths to be comparable to a horse like Les Dance, who set that standard on that day. So Therefore, then you've been asked to take 3-1 about a horse who's just had the one run. He beat Broken Soul and a horse of an ex-John Hawks horse off the flat who Ken Peterson didn't like in the parade ring, Prince Chaparral. You must be a madman if you think that's a 3-1 chance.
Yes.
I'd need to see him again. If he went to the festival off the back of that run, I don't think that run's going to be good enough to win a Supreme Novices.
Okay. Are we sort of seeing that price, given who trains him and the lack of supposed opposition as well in the market?
I think that's factored in as well, Sam. I definitely think you're right there with that. Moonracer's up to now set the standard over here. But again, he hasn't done a number worth its salt. I haven't got him doing anything at the moment. And then, of course, we've got other horses to perhaps throw into the mix. We don't know what Charlie Parks is going to go, where he's going to go. JP's got stranglehold in a lot of these. He's probably the key to where the pawns go on the chess table.
Yes.
Will Defi de Sol come here instead of the Triumph? Will Charlie Parks go Triumph or come here? And then, of course, you know, perhaps the handicap at Newbury might have a bearing on this race like it has done in previous years. You know, you might enter your Darlans that they've gone down that route and come here and run well. And, of course, we've got Consul de Tye this year, who could be just one of those hard-knocking, hard-nosed grinders from handicap company into novice, back into novice company that could easily make the grade. And Willie Munners has got several fillies he could play around. Let's Dance, Early Beach, we've talked about these. You know, you've got Saturnus as well, who posted a good number when he won. You've got Neon Wolf, who could be anything, and we know if it's soft ground at the festival, he could be a contender. So I think this is, at the moment, a very muddy watered race. I at the moment haven't had a bet in it. I'd need to know a little bit closer to the day what the conditions are going to be like and who's going to go where.
Okay, a quick word on the Triumph then as well. Defi de Soy is favourite for this one at 7-2. It's 6-1 bar Defi de Soy. You've obviously mentioned that one a little bit earlier on. That is another horse again who hasn't lived up to the hype, certainly from a speed figure perspective. Again, this is another race where JP McManus has got plenty of entries. It's another race where horses do have the Supreme Novices option. Is there anything that stands out in this market?
Well,
at this stage?
Since I've been compiling speed figures, and I've been doing it for about 10 years now, I reckon the last 5 or 6 years, Sam, this has probably been my strongest guide with regards speed figures. What they've done prior to Cheltenham has been a massive bearing on the performance and the overall result. I remember R. Connor when he won it a few years ago. He ran off the scale when he won the spring juvenile hurdle at Leopardstown. Ivanis Gorbachev ran to a massive number before he ran to all these horses at Apples Jade last year when he was second. All these horses had run big times. So I've got a marker for this race going into it. You need to run to a certain figure on my times anyway to be a consideration. At the moment, amazingly, Defi de Sol, considering he's won 5 times, has yet to run any number of any description that would make me consider him as a obvious claim, contender at 7-2. Yes, he is a talented horse, and he probably could run a lot quicker because he's run out of opposition. But just barely on numbers and the opponents he's beaten over here, I still think he's got to improve a massive amount. I think the Irish have got a really strong hand in it this year, and I don't think we've seen the best of them run yet. Well, we've seen them run, but I don't think we've seen the potential to be realised yet. But I think we will do in a week's time when the spring juveniles run at Leopardstown.
Yeah. Do you think that Joseph O'Brien's perhaps got one or two more up his sleeve? We've seen the likes of Land and Hope and Glory and Houses of Parliament who've run respectably well. But I always get the feeling that he's got one or two that he's just keeping back with this race in mind.
Well, he's got a couple unraced. He's got Bhutan as well.
Yes.
Who we haven't seen yet. Of the ones he's run, I think those two are the key form lines for the Triumph,
right.
and in particular the Spring Juvenile. Land of Hope and Glory, of course, was second to Bapome when they met last time out, and he was the early season standard bearer over in Ireland, and he still looks as though he's going the right way. And you've got Houses of Parliament, who's second to Mary Devi at Leopardstown over the Christmas period. So Joseph has kind of like worked his pack accordingly, but I do think the second and third in the Triumph betting, Mary Diva, and in particular, Denaria Dezobo, are going to be the key form lines for the Triumph. I think whatever wins the Spring Juvenile, I think it'll be one of those two because they've done big numbers already. I think the winner of that Spring Juvenile will have a massive, massive bearing on the Triumph hurdle betting and the end result.
Okay. Excellent stuff. Interesting as ever then, Andy's thoughts on a couple of the hurdle races for the Cheltenham Festival. A few declarations have come out over the last few days for those two races. We'll move on to matters closer at hand though. It's a a jam-packed Saturday of action. Sandown, the feature meeting, will preview two races there, the feature race at Wetherby and a fiercely competitive county hurdle at Musselburgh as well. We begin at Sandown with the big Grade 1 race of the day. The Scilly Isles Novices Chase comes up at 2:25. 2.5 miles is the trip. Just five runners have lined up to contest this, and the bottom two, Andy, are probably the two top-notch in Clandeso Bow with the most proven form over this kind of trip.
Yeah, I think this is a fascinating affair. If I remember rightly, did Bristol de Meyer win it last year?
Yes, he did, yeah.
Bristol de Meyer. And I think we've got that standard of horse running in it at 12 months on. Where the bet lies is very much open to question. I think you can make a case out for all five, including Amor Alato. Of course, ran behind Royal Vacation last time out in that very good graded race at Kempton. A lot depends, of course, here at jumping. We can talk about figures and, you know, who's done what and who's beaten what, but you've got to jump here at Sandown. And I do think perhaps Baron Elko might be underestimated here, because, to my knowledge anyway, he's going to go off in front. He likes to bowl along, and he's already got proven form, at least at Sandown, over hurdles, so that could obviously stand him in good stead. But what I've seen of him, I quite like. I think on a line through Whisper, he's a very similar horse to Clandeso Bow over this trip. I do think Clandeso Bow is probably going to be better going left-handed on a flat track. I think Newbie suits Clandeso Bow really well. Whether he's going to be as effective going right-handed is open to question. Whereas I do think Baron Elko will definitely handle the fences here at Sandown. He just seems a neat, sharp operator that just gets the job done. He was back on track last time out. I'm not sure Le Prison at the moment, anyway, jumps as well enough to justify his position in the market. I thought he was very scruffy last time out. He's made hard work of jobs that he should have been a little bit more prettier in. And obviously, Top Notch, I think he's probably just about a... Is he favourite, I presume? Top Notch or close to favourite?
On the
second favourite.
Forecast that we planned as a bow,
yeah. Yeah, I'd probably make Top Notch favourite on one he's done. He's beaten a good standard of opponent, Roman de Sarnam. We've seen him win again. Sizen Kadalka last time at Ascot. He's proven right-handed. We know he stays well. So I do think the value lies between Top Notch and Baron Elko. But Baron Elko at 9-2, I think that's a fair price, given Gary Moore's overall record in novice chases here at Sandown.
Okay, Baron Elko then, the value pick in the Grade 1 feature at Sandown, then coming up at 2:25. We stay at Sandown then for their 3 o'clock, which is a Grade 3 handicap hurdle. Just shy of 3 miles is the trip here. 15 runners to go at, so an each way shape to the race, and plenty of interesting individuals in here, Andy.
Yeah, there's two horses here that I've got a massive amount of time for. Now, whether they're going to be effective at Sandown on soft ground and really slug it up the hill, it is open to question. The two horses in question are KK Lexian and Rolling Dylan. I've been following these two horses predominantly all the way through the season. I do think they're both Cheltenham Festival horses. I actually marked down in my notes Rolling Dylan as a contender, possible contender for the Coral Cup.
Right.
Because I just didn't think he stayed last time out, or he was outstayed by a stronger stayer in the shape of Shantou Bob in that arduous race on Welsh National Day at Chepstow. But prior to that, he was really good, over 2.5 at Uttoxeter. He's clocked some very fast times this season. Like I say, 3 miles around Sandown on soft ground, that might just stretch him again, but I do think a lot of him. KK Lexicon, wow, how impressive was he last time when he won at Wincanton? He won by 10 lengths, but the time figure I got for that race was off the charts. Agincourt Reef, who was 6, has won since. I just think this is a really key piece of form. I know he's obviously stepping up to 3 miles as well. So whether he'll improve for that examination, again, I don't know. But all I can say to you is whatever happens tomorrow, these are two horses to follow. I think they're still on the right side of the handicap. They're with two horses at stables that are going really strongly at the moment, Tom George and Philip Hobbs. It wouldn't surprise me if one of these two popped up tomorrow. But whatever, like I say, whatever happens, keep on the right side and keep them on side for the Cheltenham Festival. I'd mark KK Lexicon down as a conditional jockey's hurdle, the Martin Pump conditional jockey's horse, and Rolling Dylan down as a Coral Cup horse.
Okay, KK Alexian then and Rolling Dylan, the two to take out of the race tomorrow, and the two taking forward to the Cheltenham Festival as well, coming up in March. We move over to Wetherby now for their 2:45, the feature race on their Saturday afternoon programme. It's a Grade 2 Novices Chase. 3 miles is the trip here. 6 runners have assembled for it. What did you make of this bunch? We've got Callop Mad, who's been proven in handicap chase company, whereas one or two of the others not really stepped out of novice company.
No, hugely impressive last time at Danny Taunton, Calap Mad. Very much came of age, to coin the phrase. I like the way the horse did it. The time figure was good. Certainly threatened to do that the time before at Ludlow, which was just outstayed by a more grittier opponent in Fox Appeal. I do like Calap Mad, but this is going to be an absolute slogfest. Whether be on soft ground this time of year. We saw Black Line when he won it last year.
Yeah.
You know, he was really... it was a dyed-in-the-wall performance when he won that day. And arguably has left its mark on him for this season. The one I think who fits the criteria I'm looking for here is Delusion of Grandeur. Now, he's not the sexiest of horses here. He's not your grade one horses like some of these have been over hurdles or, you know, graded horses. But the one thing he does do is stay really strong in epitomising Sue Smith. And I thought he was really good the last day down in Catterick when he beat Vintage Clouds, who I thought was still in the process of running a huge race when he tipped up three out at Hayduck the other day behind Bristol Demai. So I think that form line's really solid. But, you know, One Track Mind was back in third and he's a grade one hurdler. I don't think there's anything wrong with that form at all. And once again, I do think Sue Smith horse, because he's got to give a penalty away, he's going to be underestimated and you shouldn't do. Because I think he'll go off in front. Danny Cook, as he often does, stokes the coals from a long way out on a horse like that and he knows stays well. And I think he'll really put it up to them.
Delusion of Grandeur then the choice for Andy in the 2:45 at Weatherby. The top one then for Sue Smith and Danny Cook. The final race on today's podcast then comes from Musselburgh there, 3:15, the Scottish County Hurdle. This is a listed handicap over a trip just short of 2 miles. 10 runners take their chance in this one. Who's on your mind here, Andy?
Well, the first thing to say, there's going to be a huge amount of pace on. We've got Aristo de Plessis, Optimus Prime. Both of those two horses go off really quick. Dominade, I think that's made all the running before. Just checking. Yeah, it did it made all here last time out. So he's going to definitely set it up for a deep closer. I'd imagine, not seeing the prices, that Drumcliff will be favourite. He's basically been favourite for everything since that eye-catching run at Kempton when he was hugely unlucky. We've already seen William H. Bonney, who finished eighth that day, or actually he bumped into at the second last, come out and win subsequently at Cheltenham. And I think he's very much a horse going forward and still could be very well handicapped. But do keep an eye on London Prize in this race. He'd probably be my each-way choice against the obvious Drumcliff. He just came out second best of a head-bobbing finish the other day at Market Raising behind a horse of Dan Skelton's called Bandsman. The pair of them were well clear of a decent field and a good time figure. I think the good ground will suit him. The stronger they go, the faster they go, the better will suit him. He's got some good form on the flat when they've gone quickly. And I still think he's quite well handicapped on good ground. So London Prize, if you can get an each-way price about him, he'd be my choice there.
London Prize, then the each-way option in the 3:15 at Musselburgh. If you just give us a quick recap, please, then, Andy, of your four selections for Saturday's action.
Yeah, I quite like Baron Elko in the Silly Isles at Sandown. In the next race, keep an eye on KK Lexicon and Rolling Dylan. I think they're two horses to watch tomorrow and, indeed, for going forward. Over in Musselburgh, then, I quite like the claims of London Prize each way in the Scottish County Hurdle. And over at Weatherby, Delusion of Grandeur. He's a very strong stayer and hopefully he can put his credentials to good use in what should be a slugfest tomorrow.
Superb stuff. There we are then. Thoughts of Andy Holding ahead of Saturday's action. Remember, you can tune into William Hill's Racing Radio from 12:15 p.m. with Luke Elder, Ollie Pimlott and Paddy Aspel guiding you through the cards at Sandown, Weatherby, Musselburgh and Lingfield with that Newcastle card to come in the evening. Thank you very much for that, Andy. Best of luck and enjoy the action.
Pleasure. Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.